on this day for our fourth session of Philippians. I pray that you are well and that each week these questions and the verses that we've been reading, that you're finding great meaning and purpose for daily living all along the way. Well, today I'm going to be reading from Philippians chapter 1, verses 18 to 26. A little bit of overlap with verse 18 from last week. So here it is. So what does it matter? Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that by my speaking with all boldness, Christ will be exalted now as always in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I would prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. The word of the Lord. Well, today, church, we have this dynamic for Paul where, again, he's in the midst of this push and pull of his life, being imprisoned, dealing with the empire, what they may be seeking to do to him, which is a judgment of death or life imprisonment. And the other of him going and being with Christ, right? To say, well, if that happens, well, God won't be done with me yet, because God will still do a new thing, and we'll talk a little bit about that today, but also the dynamic of being released and being free to be with his people and being the church and continuing on in that. So these are important dynamics that, as you can imagine, he is spending hours and hours thinking about, unencumbered by the rest of life, dealing with the daily living of having a job, providing for family, taking care of the daily task. He has a lot of time to think. And these are words that are flowing from his soul as he sits within that. And so a question for you, maybe, that sets you in the mood of where he may be, is to say, what loss have you grieved, either recent or from long ago, and how is God walking you through it? What loss have you grieved, either recent or from long ago, and how is God walking you through it? Of course, we can talk at length about the losses we experienced in 2020. So much with the loss of life, loss of work, which means meaningful work, people living their passions, having an income to provide, lack of time spent in those places where we would want to be, some feeling imprisoned, no freedom to be where they truly want to be. But I think even deeper is when you talk about losses and grief, it's important to name those and to loosely hold those and to offer those to God, because we certainly are not made to grieve alone. I think for Paul in these words, he's not grieving alone. If indeed he is grieving, he is still holding on to hope. And that gives him reason to discern and to speak. He's giving a sober assessment, I think, of all of it, of all of life. And I think it's good at times for us to do the sober assessment as well. But when we do the sober assessment, there still is a prayer and a hope that what is to come in this lifetime or in the life to come, that it will all be in God's glory. All of it will be in God's glory. Nothing will be apart from God, the great loss or the great gain. And Paul often speaks in that language. He does a phenomenal job of helping us to sit in that place of tension. And I'm a pastor who's comfortable sitting in that tension, asking the kind of questions that aren't easily resolved, and yet pointing to a higher vision of how we can live in the midst of it. Because I believe it's renewing. And again, it is then putting our ultimate trust into God. That's what we speak out of. That is what we hold on to. And so here in these verses, Paul would have been quoting a bit, perhaps from the Old Testament. And we can see some reference perhaps to Job 13, where Job is losing everything. Job has friends show up and tell him that it's his fault. They add salt to the wounds, right? Even Job's spouse says no to his faith or his deep belief. There's no one that really ultimately wants to stand with Job. And Paul quotes a bit from there. I also think some from 1 Thessalonians 4, Romans 8, 1 Corinthians 15, 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. There's all kinds of references in his letters that you can pull from to see maybe what he is more talking about here in this section. But we do see that there are times in our life and in his life that you could be crushed in spirit. But even while being crushed in spirit, that you could be focused on the God who raises the dead, because that's where your ultimate hope is. Either way, God is going to bring life. And even when you're crushed in spirit, to know that there's a sense of mercy. And Paul has experienced mercy time and time and time again. So there's hope through it. There's not a denial of the hardship. There's actually embracing of that hardship. And as you agonize, as you wrestle, as you feel crushed, God speaks in and through that. So for Paul, when he references salvation, or what is salvation, Paul uses the Greek soteria. And one of the definitions for soteria is rescue. There's a rescue that is going to take place. Can you name a time or two or three or four in your life where you have felt rescued? Maybe from the pit of despair, maybe from a traumatic situation, maybe from a major health situation, from a destructive relationship, perhaps, that was not good for you or your soul. Well, Paul focuses in on salvation, soteria, rescue, where that is a blessing of the full gospel of Jesus. Because Paul says, for me to live is the Messiah. And if I live, then it's for a purpose, for fruitful work. God has fruit to bear in my life and to do that in the midst of community. And if I die, well, it's for him to raise me up. God will never be done with me. Can you say that? God will never be done with me. So Paul is pointing that this will turn out for his salvation. Even if it kills him, he's going to trust in Jesus. He will be vindicated. And so he holds on to faith. Now for Paul, wrestling with the possibility in a jail cell that he might die, that a death sentence might come down, this would be understandable. Some said that Paul, in some of these letters, he was maybe very depressed or despairing, and he certainly had every reason to, but as you read, he holds that in dynamic tension with hope. But when he focuses on death, of course, Paul had been stoned. He had been shipwrecked. He had been beaten. He had been arrested. All of these things. So when he writes, maybe with a sense of a sigh of relief, if I die, well, I know God's got this, that Jesus' work is going to come through, that there will still be resurrection. Again, God won't quit bringing life just because I die. But if I go on living, again, I have fruitful work to do. And I see God's work in that, God's hand in that, God leading me in that. And he points to the Philippians here to say, I anticipate that happening. But he is leaving open that sense that it might not. Again, he's being honest. But he yearns for that chance that it would happen. But he says, even if I die, God is still going to be doing a new thing here. And in the New Testament, it's important. We have different examples of what happens after death. But for Paul, as he talks about it, Pauline theology is an understanding, perhaps, that resurrection is like a transformed body, or that you'll be made into a new body. And as that work is happening after death, that you are spending time with the Messiah, that you are, again, joined with the Messiah in that in-between time, as God works to give you that new body, that full resurrection. And so there's this in-between time of spending time with the Messiah. But then ultimately when the Messiah returns again, when God comes again, that's when a full resurrection, a full restoration, a new heaven and a new earth takes place. So there's an embrace for Paul of a future hope and of a resurrection. But in death, he's simply pointing to the fact that it's not the end. It's not the end. That there's a continuation of life and that God is doing that. And of course, we don't know what the future holds, right? And I know for me, I wrote a dear friend this last week who's undergoing now a steep, steep challenge, a diagnosis that is very tough to hear and to deal with. And in sharing the words with this woman, I shared, you know, time and time again, it seems that as I search the scriptures and sit in prayer and come alongside people's stories of what they're wrestling with and learning from one another and looking for Jesus and seeing how the gospel is alive and well in the world, there's a lot of pain and suffering. And so how does God speak into that? And the only words that seem to keep coming back to me in a still, small whisper is, we do not know what the future holds, but we know the one who holds the future. We do not know what the future holds, but we've come to know the one who holds the future. I'm going to say that one more time today. We do not know what the future holds, but we've come to know the one who holds the future. And if Jesus, through God and the Holy Spirit, is the one who holds the future, then for Paul, this sense of death leads to a sure and certain salvation, a rescue, a new body, being with the Messiah. And the hope is that we would also experience that as we take on the hardship in the here and now, never fully despairing, never giving way, running away from the sober assessment of things, but always living with prayer and hope for what is to come in this lifetime and in the life to come, because all of it resounds to God's glory. And so as I leave you on this day, again, spend some time with somebody maybe that this would be meaningful with. Listen together. And there's a few questions that I leave you with. Number one is, what fruitful work does the Lord have for you to do in your home, school, work, neighborhood, church, in your beginning work, in your retirement work? What fruitful work does the Lord have for you to do? And number two, how does Paul's outlook on life and death challenge our own sense of the value, dignity, and importance of life with Christ in body? How does Paul's outlook on life and death challenge our own sense of the value, dignity, and importance of the life with Christ in body? Well, blessings to all as you discern those questions and as you take on that challenge of living with prayer and hope in the midst of our world. So peace and hope be with each, and I look forward to being with you again right here on this podcast. Take care.